Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottaglia along with Charlie Long in studio. And we're joined on our Elkhorn Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I'll get your thoughts. I know early on you got to watch practice with the Rattler himself. And then this week, you know, you start Jay Kaner, and it couldn't have been any worse. But he got some help in that, too. The offensive line was horrible. And then all of a sudden, Spencer Rattler comes in, and, man, he gets hot. And they had a chance to steal that game away from the Commanders. And I did a talk show in Washington, a couple of them, Monday morning. Like, how the hell did we get in this spot? Your thoughts on Spencer Rattler from what you've seen and what you saw last Sunday against the Commanders?
Yeah, I just think he's got, he's got a live arm. Like, he lets it eat. And, you know, and I love that. You know, the guys are going to make mistakes, especially young guys, but I would rather, much rather, you make mistakes of aggression as opposed to mistakes of fear. You know, I'm afraid to do anything. So I just liked him at practice. It's funny, week one, I watched the two of those guys kind of go head-to-head. They were getting a lot of the reps, scout team reps, and they both got some, you know, first-team reps. They would take Carr out a little bit and give them each a chance. And to me, there was no – it didn't even match. Now, I don't know how they are in the classroom and all that kind of stuff. You know, I don't have any of that information. But one dude threw it with some authority and some moxie and, you know, and some balls, and the other guy didn't. So that's the kind of, I walked away going, dude, if anything were to happen to Carr, Rattler would be my guy. But, again, like, I'm not in those meetings and I don't know that stuff, but yeah, I mean, the fact that they came back and then they got kind of jobbed on that, not kind of, they got jobbed out of 3 or 4 seconds on that clock, you know, where the official stopped the clock, which was, you know, it just was ridiculous.
And we see it every week as one screw up after another and as one excuse after the other. It's got to have been some accountability here. You've got to watch the Packers play and you know, with things happening to Detroit, all the injuries, Minnesota's had a great run so far. But the Packers, to me, are a scary team. And we knew about their offensive firepower. And then you add Josh Jacobs to the lineup. It's a rebuilt offensive line, but they're solid there. And, man, they can run the ball. And Josh was just terrific Sunday night against Seattle. What has surprised me is how well their defense has played. And we were talking about it before. Young man who went to Covington High School. I saw him there. Edgerton Cooper, their second-round pick linebacker, who has really shown up big for the Packers. Your thoughts on, man, you got these three teams just trying to hit the tape at the same time. But the healthiest team is actually Green Bay.
Yeah, and, you know, and all of a sudden Jordan Love is not turning the ball over. When Jordan Love doesn't turn the ball over, and you know the Packers are going to do what they do, running the ball. They're going to make some dynamic plays in the passing game because they got some receivers, they got some guys, you know, tight end can play as well. So, like that to me is kind of the secret sauce of the Green Bay Packers. You don't turn the ball over, you win a lot of games, and they're really good. I tell you what, you know, the Minnesota Vikings. Quietly, like, you look at their weapons. Aaron Jones is a really good football player, really a three-down back for them, and has run the ball well. You've got the triumvirate of receivers in. You've got Addison, you've got Jefferson, and now T.J. Hockenson's back off that ACL. He's been back for a while, but now he's really being kind of more dynamic and feeling himself a little bit. And I tell you what,
okay,
and,
that's cool.
You know, yeah, the one guy that you know probably doesn't get any credit because everybody remembers him from the Jets and seeing ghosts is how well Sam Darnold has played and what he has done to resurrect his career is so cool. So yeah, you got three really good teams in that division. I'm not so sure right now. Detroit's been my number one team in the NFL all season long. I'm not so sure that Detroit isn't number three in that division because of all the injuries. 13 different guys on defense out right now. And then they just lost David Montgomery. It just is so hard, and the injuries are so devastating.
Our Insider Calls with Mark Schlereff are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Mark, you got to play with John Elway, and now we're seeing Josh Allen. Kind of give us the comparisons because, I mean, you look at the way Elway was built and how good of an athlete he was, and now the lumberjack, Josh Allen, because when he came to Manning, that's the first thing that popped in my mind. He's built like a lumberjack, and how athletic he is. The comparison of Elway in his prime to Josh Allen today.
Yeah, well, I mean, Elway wasn't that big. You know, Elway is 6'3", and probably was 220 or so, and which was big, you know, at that time. But Josh Allen's, everybody's 6'4", 6'5", and 245, 250. I mean, he's a full-grown man. They both have unbelievable arm, like just howitzers. So, you know, arm talent is both supreme on both those guys. Athleticism is supreme. But, like, Josh, you can run. You can get in the red zone and run some quarterback-designed runs, and he'll run people over, and he ain't afraid. And, you know, he's just playing so good. But a lot of people thought that Buffalo was going to take a step back because of, you know, losing Stephon Diggs and losing Gabe Davis and just what and they were just like, hey, man, we got to take some pressure off our quarterback so he can just be, so he doesn't have to have it all on him at all times, right? He can have some breathers and we don't have to rely on him 100% of the time. And what a great coaching move that was. They're running the ball much better with Cooks. They've got a couple other backs that can catch the ball in the backfield. They're legit, man. And, you know, and now all of a sudden it's by committee and nobody cares who gets the ball. And I tell you what, it's pretty impressive to watch 8 games in a row they've scored 30-plus points. You look at the history of teams that have done that, and all of them go to the Super Bowl just about. I mean, every one of them. So they're the number one team in the AFC, and I don't think there's even an argument on that.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
And they've been able to run the football, and I think a lot of that, I got to give Joe Brady a little credit, because I think he's pushed that. When he was the offensive kind of co-coordinator along with Steve Insminger that 2019 season at LSU, I remember him telling me, you know, we had long talks about running the ball more, and at that time it was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He was the guy, and they ran the football really well. And that's a team that got Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase on it. And they became a really good power running team. So I think Joe's got a little bit of say on how that has sort of changed a little bit philosophy-wise, and he's using Cook the same way he used Edwards-Helaire.
I will tell you, you know, when he came into the NFL – with the Carolina Panthers and Matt Rhule, that's where he really struggled. And, you know, there's a difference between how you run the ball in the college game and how you run the ball in the professional game. And a lot of it has to do with the hash marks.
Yep.
And a really interesting struggle. I spent probably, I was calling a game in Carolina, and I probably spent, 20 minutes. I spent a good, close to an hour talking to their coaches one by one. You know, tight ends coach and Brady, Matt Rhule, and then Joe Brady, just about the run game, because they, like, coming from college in the college game, they really struggled kind of trying to figure out how to run the ball in the professional game. And it's probably what ended up getting Brady bounced out of Carolina. And to his credit, you know, he went to work on it. And, like, it's the same thing that's happened to Cliff Kingsbury. He got in the NFL, and that spread type of offense and those hash marks make a big difference. The game is just played differently in the NFL. And he went back to the drawing board. He actually, Cliff Kingsbury, did this with going out and making sure that Anthony Lynn, an old teammate of mine, is his run game coordinator. And Brady did the same thing, man. He went back to the grind of, all right, how is it different in the NFL? And I give him a ton of credit, because they're running the snot out of the ball. And they've really, like, he's really learned that kind of that part of the game.
Mark, throwing some local flavor in here, Derek Stingley Jr., for the cornerback for the Houston Texans, the performance that he put up, especially in the fourth quarter against the Miami Dolphins in that 20-12 win where he had two picks while covering Tyreek Hill. I mean, he blanketed Hill all game. And Derek Stingley obviously went to LSU. He's a Baton Rouge guy. He dealt with some injuries in each of his first 2 years after being the third overall pick back in 2022. But he's starting to put it together for that Texans defensive back room in the secondary. And Derek Stingley Jr. just feels like someone that's rising at the right time.
Yeah, no question. And their defense, I think they're one of the top, if not number one, in pass defense in the National Football League. They do a great job getting after the quarterback. Their defense has kept them atop that division while their offense has kind of struggled a little bit trying to figure it out. And so you got to give them, you know, and not only trying to figure it out, having injuries to Stephon Diggs, and Nico Collins was out for quite some time with a hamstring, and, you know, on and on it goes. So, like, that's big time. That defense has performed well. And, like, when you talk about outstanding corners, when you talk about guys that are lockdown dudes, you know, that name, Stingley, is starting to come to the forefront, right? It's PS2 in Denver. They always talk about Sauce Gardner in New York with the Jets. And now all of a sudden it's Stingley. He is getting talked about in that same realm. And so really cool to watch him do that. And, you know, really, like, right from his rookie year, the guy, you could just tell he could play. And, you know, talking to guys in Houston about him back then, in the last year or so, or last year, like, they raved about his coverage ability and his knowledge of the game and his route recognition and formation recognition. And so, you know, he's a real student, a real good player, obviously.
if he can stay healthy, Mark, he's got the tools. I mean, he is a really super talented young man. In your wheelhouse here, the Broncos and Sean Payton, for all the disbelievers that he could do it, man, he's flying the double middle finger to everybody today. It's different from how he won here with the Saints. That defense is playing really, really well. He's got the rookie quarterback. You know, he's not making a huge mistake. They got kind of a no-name receiving core, tight end, running back group. But, man, it is working there. And they believe in what Sean is teaching them today.
No question. And they won a game that maybe they shouldn't have won. They had three interceptions. You know, Bo Nix did.
Yeah.
I think they had less than – they scored 31 points and put up less than 200 yards of offense. They struggled, man. They have not run the ball at all, which is not like Sean Payton's offenses. He's always been able to run the ball. But they have just have zero success running the ball. So it all falls on the shoulders of their rookie quarterback. And, oh, by the way, talk about nondescript. They don't really have a tight end. They don't have a tight end that really produces. And so – like, how are they doing it? Well, they're playing great defense. They're playing really good special teams as well. Last game against Indianapolis, five turnovers they created. One, you know, was the running back, Jonathan Taylor, just dropping the ball before he went over the goal line. But five turnovers, and when you go through them, man, just savvy, smart football plays. And so a lot of smart players, and, you know, Sean is a player's coach, man. The players love playing for him. He's hard. He's fair. He's honest. He'll rip your butt. But he gets the best out of his players, and he's certainly getting the best out of the Broncos.
Think about give us a little valuation on Nick Bonita. I saw him coming out of Oklahoma. He was a pass rush guy there. Man, how well he plays the run is surprising to me. And he's solid in the pass cover part of the game. It's like, okay, that's a different guy. But he has learned the game at a real high level. And when you talk about a big play guy on defense, it's been Nick.
He was, you know, for the last couple of years, I've just been like, eh, whatever. Like, he's been a situational pass rusher. And he's been good, but he hadn't been great by any stretch of the imagination. That kid made three or four remarkable plays. As a matter of fact, the first pick that Anthony Richardson had, it was off an RPO game, and Nick Bonita, they ran two guys at him, then they had the fake to the running back, and he did not buy any of the eye candy. He squeezed the running back when the running back didn't go to the ball. He jumped back out, got in the face of Richardson, affected the throw, and it was picked off by Jones. And then the touchdown, which was now a lateral, so it was called a fumble recovery, but the kind of interception for the touchdown, man, they're running a bubble screen. They run the bubble screen. Every guy leaves their area. And the offensive line all released to run a screen. They're throwing a screen back to the quarterback. And it is set up, and it could go. I mean, it could go to the house. And as soon as Bonita, he took one step. As soon as he felt all the offensive linemen leave him, he felt them cross his face. He stopped in his tracks, sniffed it out, knew it was a screen coming back the other way, broke on the ball, and that ball comes back to the quarterback, and he pickpockets him. It goes, you know, 50 yards or whatever it is. But it's savvy understanding, and that's the difference. That guy gets. He understands the game. And he is making some game-changing plays from the neck up. And then he's so physically gifted that the dude has 11 and a half sacks. He's second in sacks behind a guy. Who is it? I don't even know who it is. Maybe T.J. Watt? He's second in the league in sacks right now. Like, who would have ever thought that? I think he's third on the defensive MVP, the Player of the Year award. It goes T.J. Watt, one. It goes Patrick Surtain, two. And it goes Nick Bonita, three. I mean, who had that on their big
No, nobody did. Nobody.
Not at all. And before we let you run, Mark, it was Trey Hendrickson that's leading the league in sacks, 12 and a half.
Right.
T-Rex has been awesome. And we obviously remember him down in New Orleans.
Yeah,
let him go up to Cincinnati. He's been awesome. But I wanted to ask you about another team in the NFC South, obviously the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, they lose four straight games. They fall to 4-6. They drop games to Baltimore, Atlanta, Kansas City, San Francisco, and everyone's down on them. But then Baker Mayfield and that rushing attack, Bucky Irving's been awesome as well, but Mayfield's been great. They beat New York, who doesn't have a pulse right now. They beat Carolina in overtime. It was a close game. They beat Vegas, once again, a team without a pulse. But then last week, it was like, okay, the Bucs are here. The Bucs are here, and the Bucs are legit. They blow out the Chargers 40-17. And it feels like, you know, everyone thought that the Falcons were going to win this division, and they got off to a great start, 6-3. But they've collapsed recently, and the Buccaneers have taken full advantage as they're kind of climbing up to their fourth straight NFC South title.
Yeah, and you know, one of the cool things about the Bucs, I did that Carolina overtime game. And one of the cool things about the Bucs is I was sitting down with Baker Mayfield, and Mike Evans had been out. And I basically said, hey, Mike Evans, he's got the 10 straight 1,000-yard season. And Baker stops me. I don't even ask the question. Stops me and goes, he needs 99.5 yards per game to break 1,000 yards, and it means more to me and it means more to every guy on this team than it does to Mike Evans, and we're going to give him that freaking record. And you're like, whoa, I didn't even ask, but thank you. You know, and it reminded me of my time in Denver when Terrell Davis, going in the last game of the season, needed 177 yards rushing to go over 2,000. And we had a dude on the sideline, Bill Harpel, that had the grease board. And every run that TD had, every run, we turned to the sideline, go, how many more does he need? And he'd be like, 120, 188, and we're screaming to the sideline every time TD catches or carries the ball. Because we want to know, because it was that important to us, it was that important to me. And that's exactly, I talked to Liam Cohen, their offensive coordinator. He mentioned it, as I was talking to him, he mentioned it before we even got it out. And he was like, oh, yeah, 99.5 yards per game. Now he needs 83 yards per game the rest of the way to break that record. Man, they're going to get that record for him. And it's amazing how powerful it is when you play for something that's bigger than yourself. And that's how all those guys are playing right now. And that's why they're on this – I believe that's one of the reasons they're on this win streak. And – they're playing with great confidence, and it's really it makes me happy. It's really cool to see.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always love having you on the program. Great knowledge and insights of the game, and can't thank you anymore, brother. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
You got it, guys. Be well.
All righty. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.